Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
I'm back and better than ever. I got
you should really learn the lyrics of the theme song you're going to do a bit about. Welcome everyone to Events of War Games episode 24. Liam's here.
I'm here. It was going to be Judas, but then I ruined it by just singing Judas too many times before we started press record.
You see, this is what I get for not immediately recording your Skype call. Then I could have spliced in your, frankly, full performance of Judas, which I think you mixed the lyrics up, but that's here or there.
Well, no, I stumbled briefly, but then I recovered and I sang the rest of it.
Like a true professional, you got things back on track.
My guilt is a heavy cross.
So, you're back here. How are you doing? People haven't heard from you in about a month.
You know, I show up when I'm needed. I show up for the big payday. This is my WrestleMania return. I'm a part-timer now.
Things are quite different since you last did the podcast.
Wait, what has happened? Is it a new format?
There's a lot happening in the world at the moment, there, Lur.
Yeah, there is. Go fucking wash your hands and don't leave your house, you maniacs.
Yeah, listen to us do a podcast about wrestling and then watch the wrestling, probably, if you want it, or don't.
Maybe I mean, don't. I assume you have watched the wrestling if you're listening to the podcast.
Of the percent of our listeners, how many of them do you think have watched both television shows before they listen to the podcast?
I think all of them have watched Dynamite. I don't think any of them have watched NXT.
That's a heavy shot at our audience and NXT's audience.
Yeah, well, I think so. Are we gonna do like a little where have we been? Because you've been gone a week too. You didn't do a show last week.
Yeah, Dynamite was good last week. NXT was I didn't actually even bother watching NXT. It was a clip show. I'm not gonna even skim it.
Okay, I'm gonna be real with you right now. I haven't watched NXT since I was on the show.
Liam, do you remember that DM I sent you the first week you were done? It's like, hey, Liam, you've got to keep watching NXT. Why did you ignore it?
Well, you see, the main event on that show was Velveteen Dream versus Roderick Strong, and I'd rather not.
Did you listen to all 1 hour, 43 minutes of me and Rob Reed burying that show?
No. I listened to a stellar performance of Judas. And then I was like, you know what? I think the show's in safe hands, and I let it be.
It's in such safe hands, I don't have to hear it.
Yeah, I had so much faith in Rob Reed's performance of Judas, which is, as we all know, the measuring stick to which all podcast hosts are held against. And now, here we are.
Did you then listen to my solo episode?
Listen, Garrett. I've listened to your voice a lot in my life, more than most people that aren't your family. And I already knew what you would have said, so it was fine.
You just inferred everything I'd say about the shows.
I know your points before you know them. It's fine.
I'd like to think that you just don't even listen to me on this podcast. You're like, all right, yeah. My turn to talk.
No, that's just me, like, in our regular conversations, not so much the podcast. The podcast, I have to feign some interest, otherwise, like, what's the dynamic of this show?
It's actually true. I occasionally send you DMs, and you ignore them, and then you send me DMs, and if I ignore them, you get very mean.
Yes, because I am the star of the show, and I must be protected at all costs.
Every week we talk about All Elite Wrestling.
No, no, I'm not ready to go to All Elite Wrestling and NXT yet. I want to do more catch-up.
What other catch-up? I do nothing. I have an Animal Crossing village. I think it's coming along.
Yeah, there we go. Let's
talk
about Animal Crossing.
You haven't even started it.
It's downloading as we speak.
What are you going to call your town?
Oh, I didn't even know. I'm going to call it...
10 characters limit.
I'm going to call it...
Dante.
No, I was going to call a character Dante. Yeah, I'm going to call it...
Nerd.
Wrestle 1, RIP.
Wrestle, that's probably too many characters.
W1, RIP.
That works.
So, Garrett, what wrestling have you been watching in the exodus of live wrestling?
I've been watching All Elite Wrestling Dynamite.
Wow.
I've been watching WWE NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching Impact Wrestling.
I watched an Impact Wrestling match this week.
There you go.
Which, like, my review of it.
Which was it?
It was the X Division multi-man. It was fun.
There was flips and dives, and it was cool.
Yeah. Hakeem Zayn is good.
He is. He's a very smooth wrestler.
I'm a staunch supporter. I remember I put his promos over Heavy, and you're like, hur, 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 and I was like, what? Like him? And you're like, all right.
That's basically my reaction to all your takes. I'm like, hur, hur, hur.
And then you like just subtly bury them,
and then begrudgingly accept them. You said, yeah. "What's the relationship of our podcast?" That is,
we've deciphered it. And other than that, I watched WrestleMania 22.
Sure, it's probably a good show.
Is that the Batista Undertaker one?
Yes,
I watched that show.
Didn't you watch that show like 2 weeks ago? I suppose you've been gone so long.
Yeah, I'm updating people. They don't know what I've been doing and what I
haven't
been doing.
You wouldn't have talked about that show on this show anyway.
You don't know. I might have.
Fair.
And what else have I been watching? 01 and Wrestle One's Dead. And
Wandering Graveyards.
Someone please hire a Shino.
Oh, yeah, someone do that. Well, actually, no one's doing that at the moment because no one is actually running shows. Japan has finally buckled to the, all right, we can't run shows anymore.
I think there's a real solid chance that, like, a couple more Japanese companies are on the outskis by the end of this. Actually, it'll be very interesting to see if there's, like, some giant draft between, like, the remaining Japanese companies. To see
DDT,
who gets who.
Dragon Gate and New Japan will just carve up everybody else.
And you got Noah, and then All Japan will be like Shinsuke Nakamura versus Tajiri.
I guess technically Noah is already within the DDT universe, so that's basically already DDT.
I'm sure that's going to offend someone.
Probably. Every week we talk about All Elite Wrestling Dynamite,
except
and
for the weeks
NXT.
We don't.
Except last week where we weren't here, and the 2 weeks before that where Liam wasn't here. But last week
I still
AW
talked
won.
About him. To be fair. Just no one heard them.
Just no one heard the takes, yes.
Yeah.
Last week, AEW were victorious, I think, or 2 weeks ago. So we are going to talk about... I did the show myself, I should know. But AEW first, kicking off with Cody Rhodes defeating Jimmy Havoc. Let's not avoid the elephant in the room like WWE, because they're doing all these things because of prevailing circumstances. They won't bother saying like coronavirus or COVID-19 to save their life. But how do you feel about empty arena wrestling, Liam?
I mean, I was really into it the first week because it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm very bored of it because crowd reaction is like 50% of pro wrestling.
I would have said it's closer to 80 or 90% of pro wrestling.
Well,
yes.
I was giving the performers more credit than you. I guess I have more respect for in-ring wrestling, okay? As opposed to out-of-ring wrestling. But yes, it's very weird and wrestling should always have a crowd. And you know that there's some perverts. Some perverts out there, right, who would prefer that wrestling didn't have crowds.
That those people are incorrect and wrong.
Insane people. Like, literally insane. How can you prefer wrestling without a crowd?
Because, and like, wrestling is literally built on principle, like, psychology. Literally, the entire concept of psychology is crowd manipulation. People get hung up on it being like, oh, old-timey nonsense. It's like, whatever you do to manipulate the crowd to get a response is pro wrestling psychology.
Well, the whole point of a match is designed to influence the crowd one way or the other. Like, it's hard to, like, I couldn't even imagine what these, like, I have a lot of respect for the performers actually going out there and having, like, pretty good matches, like, without the main component of the match being there.
Like, there is certain matches you kind of have to have in this environment. Like, I was talking tongue-in-cheek to you before the show that if we all did old-timey wrestling, these shows would be absolutely dire. But they would be. You know, if you stuck to doing a headlock and getting the heat in front of absolutely nobody, that's a formula for disaster in empty arena wrestling. Like, you want things to be physical, you want things to be athletic, and you want things to escalate in a way that feels at least somewhat satisfying, because you're not going to get the response of the crowd to a near fall, you're not going to get the response of the crowd to a big strike, you're not going to get that adrenaline rush, so you need the action to make up for the adrenaline rush. And for the most part, both the WWE, or both NXT and AEW, have the roster to do that. It just depends whether or not they put them out there in the right combination to do it.
I was gonna say, like, I feel like last week AEW really, like, hit it out of the park with it, and they did really well. I think this week I found myself being more bored during the matches.
Like, I think Cody Rhodes, tremendous pro wrestler. Is he a great empty arena pro wrestler? Probably not.
Well, because Cody's whole shtick is based off his connection with the fans. Mm-hmm. You remove that, you remove half of his performance.
And, like, that is, I think, in absolutely no way a reflection of Cody Rhodes as a performer, because these are
it's just a reflection of pro wrestling. Like, it's what it's built on.
Like, Will Ospreay could probably still give you a 4-star match every night in front of nobody, because he can do that kind of physically athletic stuff.
I can attest, he did.
Yes, it would be Priestley on that. That's not Walk Culture, it's the other one, Wrestle Talk Show.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, but Cody is a guy who lives and dies on that connection with the crowd. And he does matches that have those, like, again, pardon the Cody Rhodes pun, smoke and mirrors that really build the drama in front of the audience. And, like, this match with Jimmy Havoc was fine. I thought it was a little weird that they did, like, weird rolling in and out of arms stuff. And it was a fine TV match, but this match would have probably been this match would have been infinitely better in front of an audience. Every match would be infinitely better.
You can say that about literally every match ever.
But this was not probably one of the ideal matches to put in front of no audience.
That being said, I still enjoyed it. Like, this wasn't one of the matches that made me, like, zone out while watching.
And you did have your close personal friend Kenny Omega on commentary.
He was there providing pretty bad commentary.
I thought he was fine. Like, he didn't... I like when people don't try and ham it up and suddenly become an announcer.
Think that, like, much like Jericho, I would like to see in a post-in-ring career them transitioning to commentary.
Cody or Kenny?
Both.
Like Cody does need to lean back on the freaking old-school references. There was a point where...
And the,
like,
pop culture references.
Brody Lee. Brody Lee has, like, the agility similar to Kevin Nash, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I guess his point was, like, a fairly athletic big man.
But Nash wasn't an athletic big man. He could, like, move. He was in terms of a big man who could actually have a good wrestling match. Sure, but.
Is that really, like, a high comparison that you want to make? Oh, yeah, this guy can have a good match.
Yeah, I was like, he's the broomstick for Bret Hart to work around. Sure. I wouldn't be like, Kevin Nash is a point of comparison I would make for somebody's wrestling ability. And I like Kevin Nash.
Oh, well. But we get a really cool Jake Roberts promo. And that saved this whole first segment anyway.
Yeah, Jake Roberts has been, imagine a world where Jake Roberts hasn't really been able to cut a promo for, probably not 30 years, 25 years, basically.
And his line about, like, them calling all the other old-timers but leaving him out was so good.
This should just book Jake Roberts against Arn Anderson. I'd watch that match.
Do it at Double or Nothing, you cowards.
Well, Double or Nothing might not exist, but yeah.
It's nothing.
They gave up on the double or Jake Roberts. The gist of that Jake Roberts promo was that basically he wants Lance Archer to fight Cody once. That's all he wants. And Cody was like, nah. But Lance Archer can debut on the next Dynamite against somebody other than him.
Trust me.
Well, would you trust Jake Roberts?
I mean, it's worked out for everyone else who has.
Darby Allin set some things on fire. I do like that all of Darby's videos now involve him just torching something.
I don't know if this was mentioned because I didn't listen to you guys talk about it, but apparently the Lance Archer vignette was filmed at Darby's place.
Oh, yeah, because we didn't have an episode last week. So yeah, Lance Archer had this big vignette where he kicked the like destroyed like 15 people in somebody's backyard that had a wrestling ring. And yeah, it was just
allegedly that was Darby's.
If you actually watch this video, you can actually see it's the exact same. They filmed this video in the same place that was filmed last week.
Yeah, maybe that is the long. Maybe Darby's is under the influence of Jake Roberts.
That would involve him turning heel, which is bad, but he would fit well with Jake Roberts, like, stylistically and tonally.
I have a prediction for Darby's later on, but I'll save it till we get to the end of the show.
Darby wrestled Kip Sabian, and I preferred it to the opener, actually, which is rare for a Kip Sabian match, probably because it's two more athletic guys doing athletic stuff.
Yeah, I really don't have anything to say about this.
This is going to be a recurring trend, especially when we get to NXT. Yeah. But not having a lot to say about the wrestling on these shows because it's there. Like it feels bad to criticize these shows at all because it's nice that they're happening in the first place. And there's probably a case that they shouldn't be happening in the first place, but I'll take the wrestling where I can get it. But and these people go out there and they have good matches in extraordinary circumstances. I'm like, hey, it wasn't that good as I, you know, put on my nerd voice and live in a basement, even though I don't have a basement. But still, it's a podcast. We're going to criticize it. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a good match. It was a good match.
Yeah, Darby Allin won with not the coffin drop, but the Last Supper, which was Bobby Eaton leg lock pin.
That was a point of contention on commentary. The name of the move.
Yes, because Tony, by the way, who was so good on this show, I was like, God, why is J.R. lead play-by-play on the show when this man works on that desk and he's so much better than Jim Ross?
Yeah, I really liked Tony on this show. I didn't miss J.R. at all. I did miss Excalibur.
Yes, and again, commentary is another thing that's probably relatively hard in an empty arena environment because like you don't have the crowd to play off. You know,
well, they kind of have to match the energy of a non-existent crowd, right? They have to replace that sound in the background, so there's a lot more talking and there's a lot more whoa, wah, whoo.
Yeah, and you can't leave dead air because, you know, if you leave dead air in a wrestling show with a regular crowd, at least the crowd fills in some of that gap, whereas it's just dead silence. You can't leave dead silence.
Well, you can, but
you probably shouldn't. But yeah, Tony was great, and they argued over the name of the move, which was the Last Supper, which was Darby's name for it. And I like pins like that, where he steps through sharpshooter style and then just drags the legs down. It's like, yes, that does look like a pinfall that would actually get somebody.
And like, it's a good move for Darby to have in his back pocket, because, you know, like, he may not necessarily beat any top guy with the coffin drop at this point, but you could always see him busting out that pin and getting like a sneaky pinfall on someone.
And I think most people will. Darby's a guy who should try and grab those kind of pins on people, and I think people would always buy those as near falls.
Oh yeah, it's believable with him. Plus, Darby's just great.
Jake Hager squashed Chico Adams. It was a squash. It was as squash can be, basically. He choked him out.
Yeah, and he does a... He has these cool music. They did that little highlight video for him before, and I was like, that music is way better than his actual music. Just use that. Use the butt rock.
I'm not a fan of butt rock. All butt rock is bad.
Yeah, but butt rock is pro wrestling. Unfortunately for you.
It has to be good butt rock, though. Like, Judas and Cody's theme are good butt rock.
Whoa, I will not have this disrespect to Judas.
Listen, Chris Jericho's butt rock. And butt rock, a good butt rock is fine. Like Sonic the Hedgehog butt rock. Come on.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
After the match, Jon Moxley arrived at the DDT Jake Hager. Jake Hager popped right back up from his DDT, from his paradigm shift. I'm like, okay, sure.
They're
going
to have a title match.
That's in front of nobody as well. Oh, good.
To be fair, like probably the ideal circumstances for that title match.
That's true. Yeah, Jon Moxley hit his pendulum shift. Paradigm shift. Damn it, paradigm. I still think pendulum shift makes more sense. Paradigm shift. Then Hager walked away after Moxley challenged him to a fight. It's so weird to see Mox in front of nobody. Like, when you do a run-in like this and he hits his move and he cuts his promo and the guy walks away, And like the emotional beats of it don't work as well in pro wrestling without an audience cheering Moxley coming out and booing, hey, you're walking away. Yeah. It all just feels just the wrong side of flat.
It's very weird. Like when he walked out, I was like, huh? Oh, it's just some dude. Oh, wait, no, it's Mox. All right. How do you feel about Cody really trying hard to get big platinum over as opposed to like big gold?
Yeah, he's desperate. He's like, that's the big platinum belt, not the big gold belt. This is AEW. The other thing he tried to do was compare Darby Allin to Sting instead of the natural comparison that Darby Allin is the next Jeff Hardy, which is just like, that's a correct comparison. And Darby Allin as Sting is just like, no, he's nothing like Sting.
Well, I think if you specify the one specific bit that like Cody was zooming in on with the kids, like, all right, sure, you got that.
Yeah, they like, both wear
Jeff
face
also
paint.
Had that.
If you're like, yes, both wear face paint, sure, I guess he's like Sting, but then he's like Doink the Clown as well. And people wore Doink the Clown makeup in the crowd, I'm sure, as well.
I really hope that Jeff eventually makes his way over to AEW just so we can get the Jeff Darby match.
Yeah, and they do dumb shit for 15 minutes and jump off cages and stages and kill each other.
Cages and stages is going to be there, like... match that they do next.
You're the cage and stage match where you can only win by doing coffin drops or swanton bombs off of the stage or the cage. Okay, Brody Lee. Let's talk about Brody Lee, Liam.
Dude, I kind of love it, man.
I think it's dumb Vince Russo bullshit. And I think that on multiple levels. Because they did this big video package before he does the sit-down shit. And he's like, he's the Dark Order. We will show you. We will come for you. We will knock the door down. And he's like, the character they then present in that backstage video, which is a spoof of Vince McMahon, which is the most VK... Like, I'm literally watching 2007 Impact right now, so I'm particularly vulnerable to this. So I'm watching the VKM declaring war on the World Wrestling Entertainment and renaming them Voodoo Kin Mafia to have Vince McMahon's initials. I'm like, that is the cringiest bullshit. Why are you doing this? And then they have... Brody Lee do this sit down where he's given out about sneezing and massacring steak, and it's supposed to be Vince McMahon. It's very clearly supposed to be Vince McMahon. I'm like, you're doing that with Brody Lee? Really?
It really feels that like Archer, Lee, and Hardy all are in the wrong positions.
Mm-hmm.
Brody should be in Matt's position. Matt should be in Brody's position. And Archer should have been... Well, Archer was originally going to be MJF's bodyguard, apparently. So, like, that got switched, and Brody should have been in that position. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Seems like these three dudes got their debut destinations mixed up.
I didn't like that. Like, that felt like the kind of thing where you're sitting in the creative meeting, and you're like, what if we do a thing where Brody Lee's like Vince, and then you get some digs in at Vince, and everyone has a chuckle, and you dismiss the idea, because Brody Lee should not be a fake Vince McMahon on your television show.
See, I if they don't go that much more into it, and they're just trying to establish that he's, like, an eccentric, psychopathic like rich dude who has a giant evil cult corporation, that's fine, but like I just don't need every week to be a Vince skit.
Yeah, I didn't need like, if this is I don't mind the idea of them pivoting the Dark Order to being this like weird corporation cult being led by this, as you said, psychopathic rich person who's basically just a sociopath who abuses people. But again, there was a tonal different dissonance between the character that was presented in the wrestling match, the character that was presented in the video package, and the character that was presented in the vignette. They seemed like three different people.
Yeah, I feel like they wanted to give Brody something more than just generic "I am bad guy" leader, and they pivoted after 1 week. I'm willing to give this more time before I firmly go one way or the other with this. But what it really comes down to is I just want to see Brody Lee wrestle.
Which you did. He beat QT Marshall in another squash.
And thank God he had cool gear this time.
By the way, did you notice his finish was he did the like dip into the Sister Abigail and then turned it into basically a rainmaker?
That was these days. He did like the dip, threw him up, and then the discus lariat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did that to Daniels too.
So he's also taking shots at Bray Wyatt.
You know, this is gonna make WWE like nerds so mad.
I know. There's times where people are like, oh, this is like TNA. And it's usually not. It's like, oh, Jon Moxley winning the title is just like TNA. That's what TNA did wrong. It's like, TNA pushing Kurt Angle is not what, you know, screwed up TNA. He's Kurt Angle. Or Christian Cage or Sting. These people were stars. The problem was they killed AJ Styles, they killed everyone else, and then subsequently made Kurt Angle, Sting, and Christian Cage meaningless.
So what you're saying is, like, eventually if Darby makes his way up there and they're still like, nah, Matt Hardy, like, that's going to be the tipping point.
That will be a problem. But this shit, this is the kind of stuff that's the wrong kind of obsessive with WWE. It's just like, just book Brody Lee. Fuck off with the Vince shit.
Mm. Like I said, I'm willing to give it more than 1 week, but I don't need him to go out next week and like make weird comments about how he wants his kids to fuck.
Yeah, shout you're fired at frickin'... Alex Reynolds.
Dude, Vince is a weird guy.
He's a tremendously weird human being, yes.
Ugh.
There's a very good argument that he is not, in fact, actually a human being.
Yeah, he might be an alien. Or a clone. Some sort of, like, failed clone experiment.
His father tried to clone himself and got that.
Yeah. That's why he hates the Junior moniker. That's the next thing. He's going to face someone with Junior in their last name and be like, I hate this.
He's going to... Evil Uno is going to become his equivalent of Shane McMahon, and he'll just wish him like a very generic happy birthday message.
And then he's going to like do a really big one for Jon Moxley.
Brody Lee left a mask on QT Marshall after he beat the shit out of him.
Brody Lee. Let's get him. Let's wrestle him in Derby or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think they go with Lee? Is he just going to beat up like nerds?
Well, they have the mini feud of SCU, which is probably a nice little intro, especially at the moment when you don't really want to give away anything good with Brody Lee while you're doing like MV Arena shows. An SCU feud is probably fine.
Have him run through SCU and then like do a trios or something at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. And then by the time you get through that, hopefully we will be running wrestling shows like normal and he can have good matches with good people.
I assume Evil Uno and Stu went on this show because of travel restrictions.
Yeah, this show was, even compared to last week, it was much more pared back. There was fewer people there. They did the picture-in-picture box thing. Because last week they had people around the ring, they had people at ringside, creating at least some semblance of an atmosphere. They didn't have that this week. They decided for their substitute, they were going to do, like, if you've ever watched Japanese television, you've seen the box in the corner of people reacting to the thing that's actually happening on the show. They did that during the show. I thought it was kind of lame and dumb. Fine experiment.
I think it had its moments, but they went to it so much, especially in the main event like match, that I was just like, Jesus, do we need to keep going back to this? Do we need to have Cody questioning why Dasha is in the male locker room like constantly?
Yeah, and Tony's like, oh, there's money on the line. It's like, I don't need to see these same five people not really reacting to the match over and over again. I get what they were
literally on his phone on the couch.
He was sitting there with his dog. I get what they were doing. I get why they did it. And I think it was probably worth a go. But yeah, drop it next week, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Update Nick Jackson via Vanguard 1. Vanguard 1 is
According to Tony and Cody, Vanguard.
Yeah, sure. They
didn't call him Vanguard 1 once.
It's just the regular Vanguard. I wonder, is that to suggest there's a whole fleet of Vanguard now?
I think they just fucked it up because Jericho called him Vanguard 1 in the main event segment.
He's Vanguard 1. Know your broken lore, please, Tony and Cody. But yeah, Vanguard 1 spied on Nick Jackson and assessed him with his magic camera.
And Cody was really mad at the size of Nick's house.
It's 61%. Cody probably has a big house too, right?
Yeah. The thing is, I think Cody's in a more expensive area.
Like, Cody's probably made more money in his career than Nick Jackson, right?
Yeah.
So, giving out about Nick Jackson having money and buying a house.
Yeah. Well, he did call it a compound. I wonder if instead of doing the Hardy compound, they'll go to the Jackson compound.
I think we'll talk more about compounds when we get to the end of the show. Kenny Omega defeated Sammy Guevara in a really long, really good TV match that, again, you can't get away from the fact that probably won't regret, but still, it was probably as good of a match. Maybe not quite. I thought they were on the wrong page every so often. But other than that, I thought it was probably about as good a match as these two could have in front of nobody.
Yeah, it made me really sad, because as I was watching it, I was like, I'd probably go way, way higher on this match if there was a crowd. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely would. It would be, like, I thought it would have almost reached a low-end match of the year candidate for me, but yeah. But the crowd, without the crowd, it kills it, man.
It sure does. It's just, but yeah. I don't want to be too down on it, because like they had a really good match. They had
somehow managed to have a 3¾-star match in front of no one. So
yeah, which is always impressive. I'm sure Sammy will be a bit bummed that his first big match with Kenny Omega was in front of nobody. He's like, I finally get my first big 3-segment match with Kenny Omega. We're going 25 minutes, but no one's there.
Well, speaking of being bummed.
Oh god, speaking like this is the instance in which them doing something in front of nobody absolutely destroyed something.
Okay, so for real, this felt like bad Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah, it was like it was good for a moment because Chris Jericho cutting a promo on the drone. The Jericho
Vanguard 1 stuff was great.
Especially because there was a period during that where Tony said in as a deadpan a voice as he could, he's cutting a promo on a drone. And I lost it because Tony's the best. But yeah, Jericho tried to recruit Vanguard 1 into the inner circle and Vanguard 1 flew away.
And he's like, I don't agree with your political beliefs on Twitter.
Which Vanguard 1, by the way, does in fact have a Twitter account.
What are his political leanings?
Let's find out. Let's check what Vanguard 1 has been tweeting about recently to see what... Vanguard 1's last tweet was a pumpkin with a skull on it, with Vanguard 1 on it, saying, beat that, Senior Benjamin. So I assume he carved this pumpkin, and then is trying to get Senior Benjamin to carve a better pumpkin.
Did Senior Benjamin reply to it with a pumpkin of his own?
Let me see. Senior Benjamin, did you... No, Senior Benjamin ignored it. When was the last time Senior Benjamin tweeted?
Fairly regularly, I believe.
Oh yeah, he tweeted as recently as January 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. This is the entire broken universe you'll have to get used to. But yes, Jericho cutting a promo on a drone. Very good.
Alright.
Then the rest of this segment. There is... Broken Matt Hardy was a place and time thing that I'm not sure can just be, like, lifted. Because, like, the reason the character worked was because he was a delusional heel who was meant to be laughed at, and most of it was played for comedy. So when he was like, Brother Nero, I knew you'd come. It was like, yeah, it's stupid. But it's the right kind of stupid. And Jeff Hardy was the straight man who was standing there looking at him being like, what the heck is wrong with you? What is this world? And then Jeff Hardy slowly gets dragged into the world and he fades away and classifies himself as obsolete. And they shout catchphrases at each other and shoot fireworks at each other and dive under boats, which he calls the dilapidated boat. And that's fun. And this, I'm not sure, can you just translate that without it just seeming really, 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 really flat?
All right, to be fair, I will give this one thing. If this had have had a crowd, it would have worked.
Yes, because the Broken Matt catchphrases would have gotten over. So when he said, I'll fade away, you'll fade away and classify yourself as obsolete, the crowd would have said obsolete. And when he shouted delete, the crowd would have shouted delete. And when he teleported, it might have got... they probably would have done the, wouldn't have done the teleporting thing with a crowd because it would have been harder. But...
All right. That being said,
mm-hmm.
if I was trying to convince one of my friends to watch AEW...
Mm-hmm.
And this segment came on, I would be so fucking embarrassed.
Yeah.
I would apologize to them and I'd say, you don't have to watch this show anymore.
And like,
I think Matt Hardy has value in AEW. I don't want to say that he doesn't, okay? I think Broken Matt can have value too, because I think you can do it on a minimalistic approach. I don't think doing this full Broken Matt thing is going to achieve anything. I think it's going to lead to bad segments. He's not going to have great matches. And I don't think it's going to have any sort of ratings growth beyond like, oh, it's Matt Hardy. And then that'll die down because they'll be like, oh, it's just Matt Hardy.
At least if you showed somebody the final deletion, it's meant to be kind of laughed at.
Yeah, so, it was meant. It was like a cheesy, like bad. It's like The Room. It was The Room of wrestling.
Yeah. Whereas you show this is meant to be a main event program. That's why this doesn't work. You have Matt Hardy. And there's parts of the broken character that I think Matt has somewhat lost touch with, where he's talking about Damascus, 3,000 years old, I'm the Egyptian pharaoh stuff. That stuff is just nonsense. Stop it.
I think that's the stuff he likes from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he keeps pushing it. But like, that's the least interesting stuff from Broken Matt.
Yeah, it's like,
and like Broken Matt should just be a catchphrase machine that then has a, like an occasional match.
Yeah, and I think the second they were debuting Matt Hardy in front of no crowd, it was fine last week where he just appeared standing in the crowd. This segment, whatever this segment was, should have been like a Matt Hardy compound segment. It shouldn't have been in the arena. It shouldn't have been in that setting where it just die a death.
I do think they're going to build to that.
They probably will, but like it didn't have to be like a full like final deletion thing. It just had to be like a Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy contract signing thing.
Because we're double or nothing in doubt at this point, but I do think the original plan would have been Darby and Matt Hardy versus Jericho and Sammy.
Because
I think that's as close as you can get to Jericho versus Hardy without it being awful by putting those two in there. To do like the crazy flippy stuff, and I think that would have been a final deletion style match.
Would you have done it in the building, or would you have like shot it at Matt Hardy's house?
I would have shot it at Matt Hardy's house, and I would have shot it at Darby's house. I would have had them go through like different versions.
If they do blood and guts, if it goes long enough that they kind of have to do blood and guts.
Do blood and guts at the Hardy compound.
Yeah, they should do it as a final deletion-esque match.
They I hope they throw Jericho in the Lake of Reincarnation and he comes out as the 1,000 different Jerichos that he's been.
There's a lot of Jerichos that can walk out of that lake.
They throw Jack Swagger in and he comes out as like a racist.
They throw the Bucks in and they come out as Generation Me.
The Bucks in, they come out as the Rock and Roll Express.
See, this is the shit I want from Matt Hardy and AEW. I want it to be fun and stupid. I don't want it to be serious.
Hopefully, this is... Well, to be fair, originally, this was going to be blood and guts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe the whole main event Matt Hardy stuff was going to be just the blood and guts stuff, and then he was going to transition into more mid-cardy stuff. But
I don't know.
Yeah, and it really seems like they're going in the Jericho direction with him.
I think he was always coming in for a program with Jericho.
I really hope they put Darby and Sammy in it because they need those two in there to make it good.
Especially if they end up having that match in front of no crowd. That's mad. That's not a match I want to see with no crowd.
To be fair though, like Matt Hardy has value. Let's not pretend that.
I think Matt has value.
Yes.
I'm not anti-Broken Matt. I like Broken Matt. I just want Broken Matt to be funny, not serious.
I think, like, if you go back when we were first talking about the Exalted One stuff, I think I said something along the lines of, I really hope it is Broken Matt, but I hope they don't just retread Broken Matt. I hope they do something different with him, and they're just retreading Broken Matt, and I think that's my problem mainly.
Because, like, Jericho shouting at a drone, funny. These people just shouting at each other for 10 minutes. They also did the weird thing where they didn't have them hold microphones. They did it on like the ring mics or however they turned those up.
I guess they heard the complaints about like people making fun of WWE for having the microphones.
But there's you record the audio through the microphone. I thought that complaint was stupid.
Yeah, I also think that complaint is stupid. But
that's how you record audio.
I think them not having the mics is what made me think of Shakespeare in the Park.
Mm.
Because it's like a lot of posturing to nothing.
Yeah, this is no good. No good.
That I'm not going to completely, like... Again, AEW's been good enough, and they've been able to correct their mistakes quickly enough that I'm not going to completely give up hope on it yet.
Indeed. So that's AEW Dynamite.
But learn from this.
Yes. Also, yeah, definitely fix Matt Hardy. Make him funny. More shouting at drones, less shouting at each other.
Also, bring back the piano music. What the fuck? He had the piano music last week, and then they just didn't do it this week.
They should just get Jeff's obsolete theme. I'm sure Jeff will be perfectly fine licensing the song.
Yeah, well, then he'll get punished in some manner, you know.
That's because they're going to push him anyway.
Fade away and classify himself as obsolete.
With the big piano intro by Rebby Hardy. Come on.
Well, fuck you, bro. You didn't even do the fucking
thing. Oh, sorry. Obsolete.
I do like being able to hear like Matt actually like clicking his teeth.
That's no, like that's the ASMR of I do not. No, stop it. WWE NXT opened with Tyler Breeze against Austin Theory, based on, you didn't watch this, but they had a little backstage thing a couple weeks ago.
I actually saw that one segment,
which I gave out about because it was one of the many instances of people cutting promos so they could be interrupted, of which there was instances of on this show twice, but we'll get to that. Fine match, nothing special. Actually, I really thought an empty arena match kind of exposed Austin Theory in particular, where it's just like, oh, you're very cookie-cutter generic, aren't you?
I just kind of thought this was really boring.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought the last minute was really cringeworthy.
And yeah, it's particularly, again, Austin Theory trying to do a like an actual performance element where it's like he's meant to be taking the thing, and he's just so like mechanical and generic, and there's no like, you can see it's like I'm delivering what I meant to deliver instead of, you know, fully owning it and being Austin Theory.
He really does give off like young Randy vibes, doesn't he?
He does, probably a little like, more robotic.
Like
than
before,
Randy.
Like before Randy like got all of his charisma. And then before he lost it again.
Yeah. I was kind of happy to see Tyler Breeze win, because I like Tyler Breeze. I think he should be doing more in this show. But
what happened to Fandango? Is that dude getting fired or released or something?
Because, yeah, maybe he's quarantined. I don't know. Because well, like, there's a chance anybody that disappears on the show all of a sudden is quarantined. So you never
well,
know.
Well, Adam Cole and Britt Baker haven't been on either show in 2 weeks.
Well, Cole did a promo on this one.
From his house.
From his back garden, yes.
Exactly. So, you know.
Prevailing circumstances, Liam. Prevailing circumstances.
I hate prevailing circumstances. Also, by the way, I was listening to this show, and I must have skipped the intro bit, like where they had the commentators. I couldn't tell who the fuck these commentators were for like half the show.
Could you not identify Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton?
I knew Todd Phillips, but like it just sounded like Todd Phillips doing two voices.
It's Tom Phillips. His name is Tom, Liam.
Sorry, I got Todd Grisham in my head for some reason. But Tom Phillips, it sounded like him doing two voices. And I was like, who is the second person? And then like he just said Byron. I was like, what? That's like the last person I expected.
It's interesting. They didn't show them at any stage throughout the show, did they? So maybe they were doing
okay, good. So that wasn't just me being like an idiot and missing them doing an intro.
If they did an intro, I don't remember. But they definitely didn't show them anywhere else on the show. So they might have been doing it remotely. You never know.
That being said, with what like with all that, still way better commentary than normal on NXT.
Yes. Naturally. It's just Mauro's not there, so.
Mauro just doesn't need to come back. He can go do Ryzen.
It's nice of you to just put Mauro out. I suppose you're not putting him out of work. You're just making him go somewhere else.
Yeah, go to Ryzen. I still watch that. Him and Frank Trigg can have bad commentary there. And then he can do the big boxing matches. I'm sure that's a way more prestigious gig.
It's probably less stressful.
Well, you don't have Vince screaming at you.
Well, you don't have Vince screaming at you on NXT either.
Yeah, I bet he's still screaming.
Then you enter the squash match period of NXT. Where Killian Dane beat Tahuti Miles. It was a squash. Yeah. Literally nothing else to say about this wrestling match. Cameron Grimes defeated Tony Nese in what was a better match, but still, like, all right.
I feel like they never have a set character for Tony Nese. It's like, sometimes he's a bad guy, sometimes he's a good guy. Don't worry about it.
Sometimes he just needs to be squashed by Cameron Grimes and just don't think about it.
Don't think about it. This is the Tony Nese story.
That's true. Remember when he was good in, like, 2011? I miss Tony.
Do you remember him winning the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania?
Yeah, beating Big Bud after Big Bud's giant reign. And, like, really? That's what you're getting?
You couldn't give that... You couldn't do Mustafa there? Like, just, like, to give him the full circle?
Like Ali's doing anything. I remember Tony Nese was on Impact in, like, 2011. And he had a really good best of three series with DJZ. And I was like, this guy's going to be good. And then, like, he left Impact, and then he never got good.
Do you want to talk about people who did random Impact appearances over the years?
Pretty much everybody. Pretty much everybody has worked for Impact.
You know who my favorite one was?
Go on.
Jigsaw as Rubix.
Yes, where he had that great match with Sanjay Dutt. And then
got over, too.
Yeah,
the crowd was into him.
he had a really good showing on the Destination X-2012 pay-per-view. Then he did a couple of one-night-only shots, and he should have been signed. They're like, in any world, he should have been signed like the second he got through the curtain in that Sanjay match, and he wasn't, and it's a travesty.
And Jack Evans appeared briefly again.
Yeah, 2011, during the same thing.
And then I'm going to think of one more. And then Trent Beretta as Greg.
Yes, so you really liked all these X-Division cameos around Destination X.
It was weird, man. David Starr?
Yeah, well, he only did one night only. That barely counts. Actually, no, did he do a TV match? He might have done a TV match.
Weird stuff. I think because wasn't he like, didn't he do Ring of Honor and Impact on the same like week or some shit?
Was it David Starr that lost to Jeff Hardy on TV? I'm pretty sure it was.
That's a fun match for the Vault.
No, he lost the Moose on TV. That's less fun.
That's a less fun match.
And then Suicide on a one night only.
Love the new Suicide look, by the way.
He does look cool. I'm a fan.
Anyway, Io Shirai returned to the cheers of
everybody. Aliyah was meant to face Xia Li. Xia Li was attacked backstage. This was a payoff of an angle 4 months ago.
An angle that we gave out about them not paying off, to be fair.
So they brought it back. Was the idea that Aliyah was meant to have attacked Xia Li and tried to get the bye?
She was kind of like, ha 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 ha, in the ring. Then, you know what I thought they were going to do?
What?
I thought it was going to... It was great. There's one more person. And Vanessa Vaughn was going to come out. And it's like, oh no, the partners. No, it was Io.
Io came out, beat her in a minute. She's qualified for the ladder match.
She's probably going to die in that ladder match.
In front of nobody.
Oh god, they're doing that in front of nobody.
They're doing a ladder match in front of nobody. That's going to be so strange.
I don't want to even talk about this Keith Lee segment. I'm so sick of this shit.
Keith Lee comes out. He says nothing for about a minute and a half. He's interrupted by Dijakovic, who says nothing for about a minute, who is interrupted by Damian Priest. They brawl. It's a triple threat match for the North American Championship next week. Really, who could... Damian Priest... Everything Damian Priest does... I think Damian Priest is a pretty good wrestler, but pretty much everything he does on this show is always just like, I just want it to end.
Yeah.
And Dijakovic and Lee have been feuding for 15 years, and they're going to do their big match with Damian Priest doing big stuff again.
Do you think Dijak's going to beat Priest, and then they're going to do a rematch of Dijak and
Lee? No. Don't you speak that into existence.
That's totally what they're going to do.
That's definitely what they're going to do.
All right, Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole in his backyard is mad at Velveteen Dream, and is like, Velveteen Dream, you're not good. You don't deserve a title shot. You can have Bobby Fish next week.
Mm-hmm. And I got the Mighty, and the Mighty don't kneel.
Yeah, who's this Brendan Vink?
It's Elliot Sexton.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm finally making an appearance after being signed for like a year. He got signed around the same time that Jonah got signed.
Jonah's been on TV for about a year.
Yeah, and old Brendan has been down at Evolve.
He has a weird face.
And now he's teaming with Shane. I guess fuck Bronson Reed.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think they'll add Bronson to the group and do a TMDK shtick?
TM61-2.
The Mighty 62.
TM122.
Was it like Aerial Ace? That was the TM that everyone used to...
It was Will-O-Wisp, I think.
It was Will-O-Wisp, yes.
So they'll just call him Will-O-Wisp.
Oni and Danny had cool white boots.
I did like in typical WWE fashion. They were like, oh, these two were valid. Had a hell of a week. They lost to the Street Profits on Raw. And
in front
like
of no one.
Yeah, in front of no one. And in WWE world, that's like, oh, they were on Raw. What a week they're having.
I really thought they were going to give Shane and Brendan the win. Yeah. Because like, I'd be like, oh, they won, but like this has been the second match ever, and he's here on NXT. I was like, oh, sick. And then, nope.
He's just lost. Though, on the flip side, I'm happy that Burch and Lorcan actually won a match.
Yeah, but they're jobbers to the stars, come on.
But they have to occasionally win matches to actually be effective jobbers to the stars.
I mean, yeah, but you could have done that against fucking, what do you call them, 3.0? Mm. Whatever their new shtick is. Like, they can beat those guys. I think you have something.
Pretty sure they already have, though.
Well, there you go. Just do that again.
I thought Burch and Lorcan looked good in this match. I thought they were...
This is a good match. I actually really like this match.
This is a good little TV sprint.
Yeah. I see, like, I actually didn't, like, dislike any of the actual wrestling on this show, because most of it went quick enough for me to be like, oh, all right, cool.
There was just, like, there was, like, six squash matches on the show. There was a match at the start and a match at the end, and everything in the middle was just a series of squash matches.
But you see what the thing is, though? Like, I think I prefer having squash matches when there's no crowd, because, like, there's no reason for them to have these big, like, spots, because there's no one reacting to them, so I kind of just prefer them going in there and going, bop, 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 win.
I don't think they need to do squash. I think they should lean more on sprints. Like, they can't rely on a crowd to carry the energy of lulls in matches, so, like, a good 8-minute sprint wouldn't go astray.
All right, let's meet in the middle.
All right.
No, like, 10-12-minute matches.
So you're very upset that Kenny and Sammy Guevara went 25.
It just went too long, man.
I would have preferred that go 10 and be a sprint. All right, what's next?
Canister Ray defeated Caden Carter. Caden Carter really getting all that momentum from beating Laura Van Ness, whatever. Chelsea Green, there we go. All the way building up so she can lose to Canister Ray. I don't understand the way they booked the show.
Whatever. Candice is cool.
Candice is not a match.
Matthew Riddle.
Roderick Strong. Pretty boring match.
I thought it was all right.
I was like, this is the Matt Riddle Roderick Strong match.
It kind of felt like an Evolve match.
It felt like they'd hit harder and work faster, and they just kind of lied on the mat for the first half and then did a
to
nice
be fair, little... they're doing it in front of no people. They're probably like Roddy's like, bruh, I'm like 40, bruh.
Yeah, that's no excuse. You should be working harder. Come on.
Nah.
You have to make up for the fact there's no audience, not give in to the fact that there's no audience.
No, you know what, Roddy? Take the night off. You have my permission.
Liam's going to be a very and bad then, pro wrestler.
1 year after his signing, the God makes his NXT debut.
He was on NXT a few weeks ago, wasn't he?
I mean, he's been like in the crowd, but like this is his actual fucking... I'm here now.
Yeah, Malcolm Bivens showed up with... who are these two people?
Yes. I actually don't know them.
I don't think...
They looked cool, though.
I don't think the attack looked particularly good, but they looked
disagree. I thought they like hit pretty hard.
I thought like the back half of it, they did some cool moves, but then the first half, they looked like they were literally had no idea what they were doing, stumbling all over the place.
Stokes on TV, who cares?
Yeah. You know what my only thought was watching Stoke debut?
That I was really bummed that they didn't do the Jonah Rock combo after teasing it for like a year.
Stoke would be so much more fun in AEW.
He would be so much more fun in AEW. Who would you team him with in AEW?
I don't know. Who needs a manager that's like not super charismatic? Because they do have managers in that company, which is nice.
Who would you put him with? I'm instantly like in my head going to Dark.
To try and, like, Sean pick Spears.
Someone that actually is like something.
Joey Janela.
I guess maybe Janela.
Private Party.
Maybe Private Party.
Who else is a Dark regular?
Maybe you put him with Death Triangle.
Yeah, put him with Death Triangle.
Yeah, I think Death Triangle works.
Hmm.
Or Butcher and the Blade. Do something like that. Who knows? Butcher the Blade and the Bunny all under Big Stoke.
That would be a very weird fit.
Yeah, but would it be any weirder than him managing Timothy Thatcher?
That's true. But yes, he's managing. I don't even think they identified those two, did they?
I'm pretty sure they didn't name them because I was like, wait, who are they?
Yeah. So there you go. Stokes on TV. Next week we have Velveteen Dream against Bobby Fish, a second chance losers gauntlet, and then Lee against Dijakov against Priest for the North American Championship, which brought us to. Very excited for NXT next week. Our main event segment, Triple H had a meeting in the ring with Gargano and Ciampa, and he's like, I'm going to find you an empty building. I'm going to find you a ring. I'm like, you're in an empty building with a ring. What are you talking about?
Do you think this match was going to be at Mania?
Well, no, it's in 2 weeks on NXT.
No, but like, do you think it was going to be?
No.
Because like, when he was talking about like the biggest stage possible, I was like, I'm going to put this on Mania.
Mania is no longer the biggest stage, but I thought this like this whole thing.
It's an
was
equal
weird.
Stage.
Like, what are you talking about? That you're going to find a building and an empty like this? Why?
They're
going to
do it. It's going to be Final Deletion style in
it
like some
warehouse.
It probably
will be, but it's stupid.
Okay. I as much as anyone else, we have ragged on Gargano and Ciampa because they kind of suck, but. I thought now with the roles reversed and Gargano as the heel, I think it's much more tolerable.
I think Gargano's a good smug shit.
Well, he's always been a good smoke shit, like DGUSA, and like he's always been like good at being just a slimy asshole. And when he was in the ring, and when Ciampa and they were in the ring and they were going back and forth, I actually was really into that promo. I thought they did a really good job at conveying like actual hatred towards each other.
I did like when Triple H was like, "How long do you need?" And Karen was like,
"Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks."
Yeah, like I really did like the in-ring portion of that. I didn't like the last minute of it where they're like, "I'm the Hunt Soul. No, I'm the Hunt Soul." Like, no, that's not what this is about. No one. This is some fucking 205 live shit at Mania. Like, no one cares about the heart or the soul, the fucking brand. I just want to see two guys who hate each other fight.
That's the problem with NXT, Liam. Everything's about NXT. It's like, Mr. NXT. It's like, yeah, it's just, this is about these two men who hate each other because they repeatedly ruined each other's lives and want to kill each other.
As Gargano said, he tried to murder me.
Like, I did like that he was throwing himself through glass windows to avoid me.
That's like classic heel stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Gargano is a much better heel. He looks less like a human ladybug. Ciampa's tiny.
Especially next to Triple H. Yeah, putting Triple H in the ring with these two, it's like their gigantic father disapproving of the children fighting.
He should have been on the outside of the ring so they look taller than him. But the creator Triple H says, "All right,
the fucking creator." That's when Tom Phillips introduced them as the creator, like God
on NXT,
Almighty.
He's the creator.
We're approaching Easter. Like, Jesus Christ has risen again and he's running NXT. And
I'm this isn't a new thing.
I don't know why it annoyed me. But, like, Triple H didn't even make NXT. It was a reality show in 2010. He's not even the creator of NXT. It's a lie.
During the Corporation Authority era. He was the creator in NXT because he's a babyface in NXT, and he was the destroyer on Raw because he was heel.
Didn't create NXT. It's stupid.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
He created
it
into
God
what
himself
it is today. Bad.
Has graced us with his presence to tell us all about Johnny Gargano
and how tell us all about how he is the coolest. He looks so old.
He's, yeah,
I was
he's
looking at his face
lot,
in this, and
he?
I was like, whoo. I think it might have been because I was watching Triple H and Undertaker from Mania.
Yeah,
and
which one?
The first one where like he murdered Undertaker for 20 minutes and then lost.
17.
Yeah. No, like, was that 17?
Yes.
The year before they did End of an Era?
No, then you're talking about the second one, which was 27?
Yeah, that's one where like he like murdered Undertaker, like, and then Undertaker just got like a flash submission win, and then they did Heck in a Sec the year after. Yeah, he looks old. That was my point.
Yeah, Triple H and Christopher Daniels are the same age.
Who do you think's the better wrestler
these days?
Currently.
It's Christopher Daniels. Back then, also Christopher Daniels.
Was there ever a year in which Christopher Daniels was worse than Triple H?
Might have been like, what was Triple H's one good year, like 2000? Yeah.
I was
four. Killer Cross showed up,
me?
By the way. We forgot about Killer Cross.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen any of the Killer Cross promos.
They've been basically the little thing they aired before they showed his face. That's basically been all of them.
Is Scarlett, like, a part of this? Or is she doing her own thing? Has she debuted?
She hasn't debuted, so we'll see.
Killer Smoke Show. It's like I said to you. The fucking casual fans love Killer Cross.
I don't know. He's a Twitter account. He's another Twitter account.
I admit that I was right. Admit that I said this to you. That casual fans love him and he would be put thrust immediately into the main event scene.
And he's big and threatening. Like, he's a man who understands his character, but he's boring. I never want to watch Killer Cross wrestle.
But no matter what, I out of anyone who got signed in like recent months, the only person that my casual WWE fans talked to me about was Killer Cross. They didn't give a single fuck about Timothy Thatcher.
Well, that's good.
But they're like, this Killer Cross guy.
Cross is at least, like, Cross was on television in the US, whereas Tim Thatcher wasn't.
Well, they're not exactly people who watch Impact either.
The Killer Cross, he's a Twitter account. He's,
yeah. Like, he's good at social media branding, so any wrestlers that are listening to this,
Yeah. That's NXT.
Yeah. We're back, baby.
We're alive and kicking, hopefully, for now. For as long as there's wrestling shows on Wednesday nights, I guess, which will hopefully be for the foreseeable future, but you never know.
Which one will tap out first?
Ooh. Well, WWE is probably recording a lot in advance at the moment, so...
Do we count that as... Well, like, today was their last day that they were allowed to record.
Yeah, so I'd imagine they banked as much as they humanly can bank.
I wonder if AEW did the same. So, if they ran out and, like, they can't film anymore, do we call it the end of the War Games?
It's a draw.
Yeah, like, if they just both run out of shows, do we can't declare a winner because one didn't move time slots or anything. It's just, we end it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll, of course, at that point, TW20 will be out, and we will start our own War Games.
War of course, games. The shows will then come back, but...
And oh, god damn it. I just want them all to be dead at that point.
Which show do you prefer this week?
AEW... Slightly.
Yeah,
by like
the same.
By like a point. There's I didn't stuff particularly I really, love either show.
Yeah, there's stuff I actively really didn't like in AEW, but I think on the whole it was a better show because NXT was just that streak of squash matches.
It's like you bring up a good point. Like, I think I thought everything in NXT was neutral,
mm-hmm.
and there was some things in AEW that I didn't like, but there was also things in AEW that I really liked.
Mm.
So it's like, would you rather something that had no highs or lows or something that had some highs with their lows?
Do we even need to ask about Match of the Week?
No.
You're not going to give it to anything other than Kenny and Sammy, are you?
You know what?
What are you going to do?
Ernie Lorcan and Danny Burch versus TMDK. I'm giving it to them.
There you go. Fan poll, 253 votes, 80% AEW, 20% NXT. AEW comprehensive victory.
Ooh, you don't really deserve it this much this week, guys.
Yeah, it should be closer. Liam, before we go, where can people find you on the internet?
You know, places.
Cool. You can follow Matt Larrikin, L-A-R-R-I-K-N. I'll just do it for you. You can follow me on Twitter at Gary Kidney, G-A-R-E-T-T-K-I-D-N-E-Y. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod. Voices of the Wrestling Podcast Network is still churning out shows. Everything Elite is talking about all of Everything Elite. It's in the name. And Shake Them Ropes talks about wrestling television shows, mostly focusing on WWE. So you can watch those. No, you can listen to those. I guess you could technically watch them on YouTube, but you just watch a bar.
You can also watch us on YouTube.
But it's just a bar moving while we talk. So is that watching?
Yeah, but you
listening?
Can also watch us on YouTube.
Yes, do that too. If you've listened to all 1 hour of this podcast, go back and listen to it. Watch it again
also,
on YouTube.
Go watch Garrett's stuff on YouTube. It's good video game content.
I'm working on a Final Fantasy VII video.
Ooh, are you going to say that it's overrated?
No, it's a good video game. Thanks for listening, and bye bye.
Animal Crossing. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.